by my co-host over there. That is over there. That is Lucas. Lucas, welcome back to Rift Happens.
It has been a while. We have we've been on hiatus for a little bit, but I'm very excited to be back.
Yeah, so I have been out a little bit. I was in California at one point. I think there was another time that I was out of state, and then there were a couple of weeks where schools needed some training, and the only time that they could get me in was Monday afternoons. Apparently, Monday afternoon after school is the most common like faculty meeting professional development time.
That's when ours is, which is great because I used to lie to my administration and tell them that I had my own professional development to do for esports. And then I'd run home and I'd record Rift Happens. So
nice.
Thank you, Rift Happens, for existing on a Monday afternoon.
We are also, now that we're back, there's so much to catch everybody up with. But if you're watching us live and not listening to the recording on Anchor or Spotify or your podcast platform of choice, we are actually pushing this out through Restream right now, which is really cool. We're able to load in all of our assets. It's an easy way for any of our Coach Rivals community to hop in and just run a stream and have all the assets here. So if anybody wanted to run Rift Happens and I was not available or whoever, then we can do that, right? And it's really, really cool. And I can see the chat and I can even update the title of the stream. That's the best part of this. Is I can update and say that this is season 2, episode 16. You see it on YouTube, you see it on Twitch. Whereas when I was trying to do it through Streamlabs with a stream key, Cooper had to step in and keep everything updated. But either way, it has been, we are 2 weeks in to Coach Rivals Summer 2022. I am not a competitor this season, but Lucas is. So we'll be deferring a lot of information or a lot of, I guess, opinions his way to see what he thinks about some of the things going on in Tier 1. I've been casting some Tier 1, and unfortunately, I've had to cast a little bit of Tier 2. I'd like to abstain from casting Tier 2 as much as I can, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But so far, the season's off to a fantastic start. Lucas, what do you think so far of CR 2022?
First of all, the number one thing that has been so fantastic to see is the production value has gone up so much. And I know, you've had a large hand in that. I get to read and look at several of, I'm in some of the committees, so I get to read some of the Discord chats, and y'all, like, this production team has been popping off since probably like April, getting ready. And you can really see whenever you see our streams and see how high quality our resources are, our overlays are, how smooth everything is going. So I've been really impressed with just being able to watch and see how clean everything is. So that's been fun.
Yeah, it's been awesome. We have basically a who's who of CR people in there that are just constantly pushing out new content. We've got Slipstream in there now. That's putting out a lot of content. Of course, Brad has been our league broadcast guru. Robbie and Coop have been killing it on production. We had Allison step in and do production one night, which is really good. Danielle's casted, Pathfinder, myself. We've got so many people in there. I'm trying not to forget anybody. We've had Merlin KL, I think, on there one time do casting. Even Slipstream did some casting one night. And we haven't even gone through the entire list of people. And in all that, Patty's doing bingo. So it's just
the most important.
So much going on. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And that channel, those channels stay really active as everybody gets prepped and ready. So either way, really cool stuff. So just so we don't belabor this episode too much, let's go ahead and get right into the content. Mm-hmm. Let's get right into what a majority of our listeners are here for, which is to hear about how the CR season is going. So we're going to swap. Let's try this fancy overlay technology and see what.
That was pretty clean. That was pretty clean.
I like that. Anybody listening to this later has no clue what's going on. But either way, season 2, episode 16. We have 3 tiers this season to try to catch everybody up. And I guess we'll go through the normal spiel of if you're not familiar with Coach Rivals, check us out at coachrivals.gg. We are a community of current and former Scholastic esports coaches and directors that have all come together for the betterment of Scholastic esports as a whole, and trying to push the boundary and all that stuff, and just improve everything, and then just share knowledge and just be a big support group. But we have a league over the summer for our coaches to compete, and boy, do they compete. We have three different tiers, all divided by, I guess, skill level, we could say. And we'll start off with the lowest tier that we have right now, which is tier 3. Tier 3, Lucas, you may can correct me on this. I believe this is unranked to iron, right?
Yes, I believe that was the stipulation. We wanted this to be a community for people who were very, very new to League of Legends, not super confident, and really just wanted to learn a little more about it. Maybe not here for the competition aspect, maybe just here to learn the game and play with some people who are similar to them. To hop in and get some fun competitive games in. So that's what our tier 3 is.
Absolutely. And our tier 3 games are not streamed. Okay. We do stream our tier 2 on Wednesday night and our tier 1 on Thursday nights, but tier 3 is not streamed. They do compete on Tuesdays, but I definitely wanted to shout out our tier 3 competitors. We have 4 teams this season, and the standings are as follows. Standing at the top, undefeated, is at 2-0, is Dude Where's My R, fantastic team name, and Emotional Damage, which is one of my favorite TikTok memes that's out there, followed up by CC Does It and the Mid Lane Runners at 0-2. So if you look at these standings, Lucas, 2 teams are 2-0 and 2 teams are 0-2. You know what's coming this week.
Oh, we get the top match coming up. We get our 2 teams trying to compete to see who's going to get their first loss. And then we also have CC Does It in mid lane, who one of them is going to come out with their first win. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And so after this week, this is going to sound really terrible, but after this week, somebody is going to be at the bottom of the standings all by themselves. Mm-hmm. But someone's going to be at the top of the standings.
That's true too.
All by themselves too. So, looking forward to see, or at least seeing the result of those matchups, because again, we don't live stream them, but as a special treat for our members that are watching here, our community, I do have stats from tier 3, which is really cool. And while I'm here, before we get into all the stats, special shout out to Mr. Will Wynn. 2 things. 1, congratulations on getting engaged. 2, thank you tremendously for hooking up our Google Sheets, where we track all of the data for this, hooking it up with a connection to the right API. And we have a code now that imports all of these stats, and then we can push those over to pivot tables. And it makes tracking stats exponentially easier. So here are some tier 3 stats. Just want to throw these out there. And I know this may be small to see on the screen, but holy moly, out of bot, support, and mid lane, there are some absolute sandbaggers in tier 3 this year.
Yeah, we see some real domination in these roles, right? We look at bot lane. Careless Wanderer is our highest in every single category that we tracked. Highest KDA, highest kill participation, largest killing spree with 13, highest damage percentage, highest CS per minute, highest CS at the 10. Highest or CS differential at 10, and then highest damage per goal. He's just all over the place.
Yeah, so this is where we get into some really... This is my favorite part of CR, is just tracking the stats and looking at the stats and talking about what they mean. And because of the advancements or enhancements, rather, that we've had with the Google Sheet, we're able to now distribute stats, more stats that we can pull through the right API, and then distribute things out based on role. So the stats that we track for top and mid are pretty much the same. Top and mid, we track KDA, kill participation, solo kills, damage percent, CS per minute, CS differential at 10, and then damage per gold. In the jungle, we take away solo kills and we add in enemy jungle, like camp kills. So that would be like counter jungling, which jungler is doing the most counter jungling. For bot, we take out most solo kills and instead we add in the largest killing spree. So that is how many kills do they get before they themselves die. And then at support, we get some really cool stats. Wards placed, wards kills, we get highest vision score, highest vision score per minute. That's on an average across all their games. And then the highest vision differential, that is how much higher their vision score is or what their vision score is compared to the support on the other team. So really, really dope stuff. But yeah, as you mentioned, Careless Wanderer, absolutely demolishing bot lane in tier three. In fact, when I posted the stats in Discord, they hopped in and said, I've really been focusing on CSing and just getting better at that. I want to be the best CSer in the league. Well, I think you did that and then some.
just a bit.
So not to just focus on bot, we also have two support players to shout out in tier three. We have Shaka Walls Fell with the highest KDA, but then Mr. Fries?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. That's it. I didn't know what it was. Somebody corrected me one time, but Mr. Fries is taking out six of the stats there. Highest KP, wards placed, kills, vision score per minute, and the vision differential. Really, really cool stuff there. In mid lane, we have Keyworking, which is, if I'm not mistaken, I think Keyworking is a brand new name to tier three. I don't believe Keyworking was playing last year. And Lexi on there as well. But as chat pointed out, Coach Mustang is in chat, pointed out jungle is super spicy in tier three.
Yeah, we've got a few different names here. And all the other ones, we just have two, except top lane where you've got three. But with jungle, we've got Juicy J with the highest KDA. Then we get to see athletes, I Am Athlete, with the highest kill participation, as well as highest damage and highest damage per gold, or highest damage share of his team. Then we have some enemy jungle kills with OMG, it's Mr. Fields, as well as taking down the highest CS per minute. So definitely, it's nice to see those get split up a little more in one of the roles. It's kudos to the other people dominating, but it's very fun when you see a lot of names up there.
Yeah, for sure. And correct, isn't I Am Athlete traditionally is a Rocket League player? Rocket League.
Yes. So for those of you that don't know him, I Am Athlete is actually a C9 trainings ground coach with Rocket League. So he comes in and does training camps and lessons and runs practices for high school programs. And he is very, very good at Rocket League. I believe, I don't know if he's currently SSL, which is the highest rank, think Challenger in League of Legends. But he has been before, so he's got that going for him.
Yeah, Chad's pointing out I should put teams with these. I was in a mad scramble. I've been working on this sheet for 3 hours this afternoon, and it's the best I could get for right now. But I will add teams to it, so when the formula pulls over the name and who's got it, it'll match their team name with them. I got you. All right, I'll get that.
It's coming.
It's coming. In the top lane for tier three, we do have Devoid 555, Coach Eichel. I'm sure I pronounced that incorrectly. And JMPS Bruner all splitting up those top stats there. So a good to see some diversity in top and jungle. But but man, the mid bot and support roles for tier three, this is they're going to be tough. If we were to build a super team, we already have like the bot half of the map pretty covered. But it does give some of the other players in tier three, puts a target on the back of these players. So if you're in tier three and playing in bot lane and you see a player like Careless Wanderer just absolutely dominating the stats, how would that play into your preparation going into the following week?
I feel like that's what I would be aiming at the most, right? I'd be looking for those people, especially if I'm up in that game coming up next. I want to be making sure that I'm trying to out CS him. I want to make sure that we're shutting him down so he's not getting a high damage percentage. Just, you know, that's me being competitive. So I don't know. Does tier three work the same way? I hope so.
one cool thing about tier three is there are no bans in tier three. They are straight blind pick. So when I had my original really like janky stat sheet and I'm trying to match like champion picks and stuff, obviously Garen was picked 125% of the time. I'm like, wait a minute, that is not possible. And it was because Garen can be picked twice in a single game. And so when as we continue to develop this and I get the Google sheet worked out, I'm also going to have champion pick and ban stats that we can bring in as well. So we can kind of see which champions are dominating. which tier. But that's it for tier three. We don't have a lot to talk about because we don't see those matches, but I do want to at least showcase them and say they're doing an awesome job and throw some of these names out there. Let's get into tier two. We've already had chat Woo-hoo! Asking about tier two. We've got Ronnie, we got Pac-Man Monarch in chat asking about tier two. Here are your tier two standings after 2 weeks of CR Summer 22 play. We have Poro Snacks in sole possession of first place, sitting at 2-0. We have Valhalla back, almost first place, but they're sitting at 2-1. And the reason why they have an additional game played is because they and Legends of the Rift played a rescheduled match just this past week on Thursday night, which was streamed by a group of student casters, by the way. And it was unreal. If you did not catch that, I think Bad Dog 86, I believe, is the Twitch stream. And they had, they're running off of VMix. They had replays in there. We don't do replays, but they had replays. It was dope. Did you?
Were
you
it was really cool. Yeah, I stayed up because it was right after my game. So I finished my game up, relaxed, and then tuned immediately back in like an hour later to catch it. And when I like actually stood up and yelled when I saw replays. I was like, I was like, we need to do this. If these kids can do this, we need to do this. So I was pretty hyped. It was pretty great.
Yeah, I was super impressed. So I really hope that they continue to put themselves out there, make themselves available, and maybe we can get them hooked up with some other things that maybe we're doing, like an in-house night or something, any sort of community game night, get them involved and just give them some more practice, build out their portfolio. I think those are really cool things. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Triforce Tryhards coming in at third place at 1-1, and then Legends of the Rift rounding out our standings at 0-3. So those are your standings. We're going to skip ahead and take a look at the stats real quick, because we did, as just as we did with tier three, here are tier two stats per role. And this has been, as I've been able to track the stats each week, and it's been pretty competitive. But it's definitely not as, we don't have as many blowouts here as we do in tier three.
Right. Yeah, we still have a couple of these roles get dominated by two or three people. But yeah, we don't really have a role where one person has absolute control over every stat here. Like, we look at top lane and we're splitting pretty evenly between Coach Dubs and Axion first. Coach Dubs taking down highest KDA, highest kill to participation, most solo kills, which is also the most solo kills in the league at 8, highest CS per minute, and highest damage per gold, with Axion first taking down highest damage percentage and highest CS differential at 10.
Yeah, and it's really cool seeing this too, because when you take a look back at the standings, which obviously we don't have on there, but if I were to flip back and we look at the standings, Legends of the Rift, Axion first is the top laner for Legends of the Rift. So it is kind of neat, even though we look at the standings and we see those, we can still celebrate, you know, the players and some of the things that they're doing, again, across the league, you know, devoid of standings. That really doesn't even matter, because we still have some really stellar performances from some of our coaches here. But top lane's been definitely a competition between Coach Dubs and Axion first. They've been kind of going back and forth throughout the weeks. Coach Dubs does have a slight edge right now, I will say. So the stats are a little skewed because he has an extra game in. so that's sense. Not actually, let's see. Is it or was he Triforce Tryhards? He may be Triforce Tryhards instead, because I think he's only got two games in instead of the three. But either way, I can't keep up with all of it. Who's on which team? This is why Robbie says I need to have the teams listed.
Yeah, have them up there next to him.
I will work on that. I promise. In the jungle, I can confirm this has been a Valhalla back and Poro Snacks back and forth here between Swoko and Piper Maru. Swoko taking the edge as the best performing jungler in the league right now. They are undefeated for a reason, but I will say this. They are undefeated, and Swoko's got four of the spots here for jungle. I would say the superstar of Poro Snacks right now has been Coach Mustang in the support role. The stats there are unreal. Now, I don't cover them on this page, but I do want to make sure that I address that. But Piper Maru for Valhalla back coming in with the highest KDA, highest KP, and the most counter jungling with 24 camps from the enemy jungle that she's taking. But then Swoko pretty much running everything else with highest damage percentage, CS per minute, CSD at 10, and damage per gold. One of the cool things about seeing the games that Swoko plays is a lot of people know that he plays Shyvana, mm-hmm. And then he plays Lilia. And I think he played, I know he plays some Evelynn, but Shyvana and Lilia get banned every single game.
Right. And it's so frustrating. I feel for him so much. And then to just be able to show up and kind of take control of four of those stats anyways, despite two of your favorite junglers and your best junglers getting banned constantly. Super good, Swo. Good job.
Yeah. And the funny thing too, when we had the tier one match on Thursday night, is both Shyvana and Lilia were picked in the same game. So we're all in chat giving him a hard time, even though those two champions get banned when he's in. He's not in it. They both get picked.
Yeah, he's got the Arthur meme going on, just clenching his fist down by his side.
In the mid lane, we do see Jubilus still topping the charts with a lot of the stats, and a lot of that comes off the back of his Diana performance from week one. So if you haven't seen week one of CR and you're trying to get everything, you're trying to get caught up, Jubilus may be at the top of the standings for a while here just because of that crazy Diana performance that very, very first week. And everything, a lot of the stats we're going off of are averages, like they accumulate from week to week. He's going to ride those week one stats for a while. It was an absolute monster of a game. If I could pull my other tab up, we could take a look at it. But absolute smash on Diana. I'm assuming he's not going to get that one back the rest of the season.
Yeah, we were talking about this beforehand, but the only thing I've been sad about so far with the start of Coach Rivals is that I've been traveling for the last 3 weeks. So I've been neglecting my poor tier two friends. So I told myself I was going to go back and watch some of the games today before the show, then I got distracted cleaning, but I know I'm excited to go back and watch some of these, especially to go back and watch, like you said, some of these like really standout performances where somebody just kind of takes over the game and, really builds up some crazy stats.
Yeah, for sure. So Jubilus did really, really well on the Diana, but not to, miss out on anything. We did have a role swap. We look at Legends of the Rift. We had Bulldog Mentor and Cleaner 556 swap. So you actually see two members of Legends of the Rift in the mid lane stats, with Cleaner 556 with the highest CS differential at 10, and then Bulldog Mentor coming in with the highest damage percentage for her team. Really, really cool to see two members of that team showing up in the mid lane stats there. Slipstream showing up as well, able to play Kayle 2 weeks in a row. I imagine that is going to be banned in the future, but I'm just throwing some stuff out there. In the bot lane, a lot of Merlin, Blue Sai, Big Bad Hand. So we actually have three different members splitting those. CSD at 10 might be bugged, Mr. Hernandez. I'll have to dig through it again. But again, I was in a rush to get all these stats together. But either way, we have those three members splitting all the data or all the stats there for bot. So Merlin and Blue Sai, they had an absolute, I would say, banger of a week two matchup. I believe Merlin got Jhin, which he's really, really well known for. Nice. And Blue Sai went into that game. And Merlin did, I think they ended up losing that game, but Merlin did so, so much work in that. And then moving on to support before we get into tier one, because I don't want to belabor it too much. Here we have our support standings with do you want to pronounce the one that's highest KDA?
I've never is it for Lege?
So I mispronounced it the other day, and then someone was super nice to post it in the caster chat channel. And now I don't know where it's at, but they said you pronounce it in a like it's French.
So how do you pronounce it?
I thought that was your...
I've already tried once and it was wrong.
That was your... Oh, no, it's Italian. Okay, so chat's telling me Italian. I think there's like a hidden Y in there after the F. Fior? Forlege?
Forlege. Okay.
Fiorlege. Correct? Yes. All right, yes. Got it.
All right.
So... that's Dave coming in with the highest KDA, highest vision score, and highest vision per minute. Coach Mustang is only in two of the stats, but I will say, until we revamped our stats to make them more like support-centric, I had support stats. We were tracking the same things we were tracking for like top and mid. So it was like damage percentage, most damage done in the game, most damage per gold, all that stuff. And she was topping everything. And that's off the back of being able to pick Lux and Vel'Koz, week two. So when I was casting the pros next game, I was like, okay, this Vel'Koz has shown up. Vel'Koz could be mid or it could be support. And then whenever all the picks came through, I was making the comment that, okay, well, you know, they're accepting the challenge. Gauntlet has been thrown. We're just going to go damage support versus damage support. But they could have gone a sustained support to like eat through the poke. And she hopped into chat, in the Twitch chat, to say, no, Justin, I prefer to do damage. Noted.
What was that one?
She's absolutely been doing that. We saw in tier two, Vel'Koz versus Zyra, I believe both games in a row on Wednesday night. So
nice.
It was interesting to see with this particular group how their meta is kind of morphing and changing. Last year in Coach Rivals, Nautilus was the premier support pick. Mm-hmm. And Ronnie and I were constantly talking about when is Nautilus going to get a good, when he's going to get a win, because he was always picked, but he always lost. And I think we were like 5 weeks into Coach Rivals before he finally got himself a win. But this year, our supports don't seem to really be going the traditional, like, engaged supports, right? We're seeing things, Lux, Zyra, Vel'Koz. We even saw a Malphite, which you could say would engage support, but you can also, it was Arcane Comet Malphite. So it's, it's poke and it's annoying.
Nice. Yeah, it's I don't know, it's super interesting to think about, especially when you think of the stereotypical support players. You know, your people who gravitate to supports most probably play healers in other games, or something with a little more utility. And then in tier two, it's just like, no, I want to kill people. Like, that's it. I want to get kills and steal kills.
they are definitely bloodthirsty.
There is a very interesting stat about this in Twitch chat, but apparently of the 20 players in tier two, 9 of them are support mains.
Oof.
So we have some role swaps. I know I've talked before about this with Lirazel about how they just kind of had to figure out, okay, which one of us two support mains on this team are going to swap to AD carry. So I know potentially some damage supports coming out of there to kind of hopefully maybe patch some of those gaps with people who may not be as used to pumping out the damage. So very interesting. Yeah,
for sure. And then we have those supports switching over to ADC. So Carterra being one of them, and week one, she played Miss Fortune, and I was critical of their team comp, and because their comp didn't really have some sort of, okay, she's top main. Sorry. But I know she's played some support before, but switching over to ADC, trying to fill that gap of the lack of ADCs, but she played Miss Fortune. Their team comp didn't really have any sort of like go button. Like, we see champion, we kill champion, we go. And then the very next week, she played Ashe to like fill that role for her team. So it was really, really cool just to see the growth and development. And then they paired the Ashe with the Vel'Koz, which was totally brutal, because as soon as the Ashe arrow hit, the Vel'Koz just unleashed his ult and Yeah, it was nasty. It was an absolutely nasty combination.
Yeah.
There from them. So pretty brutal. Let's get into tier one, which you're going to be able to talk about, I'm sure, quite a bit, because even though you may not have been watching all the tier one games, you were playing in half of them. Mm-hmm. So here we have our tier one standings. We have team Let Us Win sitting at 2-0, top of the standings, straight out of Grompton at 1-1, tied with team Eclipse at 1-1, and then Bards of the Feather rounding out our standings at 0-2. And this was last week was a very, very spicy week for tier one action, especially in the straight out of Grompton game. And go ahead and remind us what team you're on here.
So not to flex, but I am on Let Us Win, which I will say, this is my penance. I played last year in Coach Rivals and did not win a single game. So I do not feel bad.
So you've gotten better.
I don't know if it's me that's gotten better. We'll see if the stats say anything about that. But definitely a fun year. I mean, I had a blast with my team last year. Shout out to Immortals. We had a blast. But there's something to be said about getting a win. That's that's nice.
Immortals was the team that I think we gave honorary second place to, because they were the ones that pushed Team Tragedy to the limit every single time that they played.
Yeah, we had some absolute bangers last year. I mean, it was our first game, I think, was like a 45-minute back and forth, and we just kind of ended up losing at the end. Same thing with the playoff game. But yeah, it was we played well. We just could never quite close it out.
it was a wild season, but Let Us Win is sitting undefeated. But y'all had a little bit of a scare last week. It was a really close game, and then it kind of went from there. But we had some really spicy picks. Had Kartike bringing in the Vayne versus your Ornn.
Jesus.
And we had Fixie Mantel was able to pick Xayah in the bot lane for the side of Bards of a Feather. And the game started out very much top lane focused for Let Us Win, right? Your jungler Will Win was ganking top quite a bit. Vayne was overextending a little bit, and there was this chain gank after chain gank going top lane. But once we hit the mid lane, or mid game rather, and Vayne got a couple items, then we start to see Bards of a Feather taking some fights off of y'all, even though you had such a strong start to that match. So kind of tell us what happened there.
Yeah, so like you said, relatively Let Us Win favored at the beginning. I think we had about a 4k gold lead coming into the mid game, but the problem with that is that when you play against a team comp that has a traditional mage in the mid lane and then two AD carries, if you let the game go on long enough where you let them get their items, then it's going to be really difficult to close out those fights, because they're going to be pumping out so much damage. And that's kind of what ended up happening. I was playing Ornn. I got super tanky. I mean, I went first item Sunfire into Thornmail. So I was just trying to focus on keeping Kai down as much as possible, which worked for a little while. But unfortunately, Vayne is just one of those champions that just scales up. So once we got to those mid-game team fights, and they were extended, and I was really kind of the front line for my team, they just were able to focus me down. And once I get blown up, it was pretty easy to clean up the rest of our team. So that happened a few times in the mid game. Definitely scared us a few times. Like, I think at one point during a team fight, I literally was just like, I don't know what's going on right now. I'm very confused. But we kind of calmed down. Played a little smarter, got some more vision out of the map, and then, like you said, it was slugfest after slugfest of fights, and then we just kind of got a favorable one in the jungle and finished the game.
Yeah, I'm gonna give that one as my match of the week for last week for tier one. I think it's definitely worth watching for anybody that is trying to catch up on your matches. Check out the Let Us Win versus Bards of a Feather match from week two. It was really good. We had it was just a we had some spicy picks come through. We had theorized about it in Champ Select, and some of them ended up coming to fruition. So we were excited about that. We also had Straight Outta Grompton getting their first win versus Team Eclipse. This was a very interesting game. Not so much because of a top lane pick, but because of the jungle pick that came through. Belveth was released on Thursday, and that very night, Doze picked it in the jungle for Straight Outta Grompton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is something that we were a little worried about. Who was, you know, teching up the Belveth to make sure that it was ready to go? And Clan Viego managed to do it, and good lord, was it scary.
And I didn't like their comp to begin with. When mm-hmm. I first saw it, I thought it's a ton of beef. They had Galio in the mid lane. They had Taric support. And I want to think they had Ornn top lane. You may, I may have to go back and double check and look at it.
Ornn top.
Okay. So three tanky boys with the slappy manta ray in the jungle. And I want to dig back through and look again. They had Ashe as their ADC. So high attack speed carries in the Belveth mm-hmm. and the Ashe, but a bunch of tanks around it. And I'm like, this is not going to work, because Galio really thrives being able to use his ult. And you know, you use the ult whenever you're able to get to the back line, you cause a ton of disruption, you can, you know, save a low member, but they prioritize the Galio for peeling and zone control people trying to collapse onto this Belveth, and the Galio gets knockups and you have the AoE taunt and can just hold everybody still, where she does that really weird animation where she has the old Galio ultimate, which I thought was a nice touch. They paired Galio with a Belveth who has the old Galio ultimate. She stands still and she's digging into the ground, and it's really, really weird, but it worked. I mean, the Belveth went absolutely bananas mm-hmm. that game.
Yeah. Do you remember what our Belveth ended as, what that scoreline was?
Yeah. 15-2 and 14.
Yeah, and it was
unreal.
It was interesting. The game was relatively even. I mean, it was maybe a 3 or 4K gold lead as they're getting into the mid game, or coming out of the early game, and then just a couple of unfortunate fights where the hyper carry gets all the kills. And I think we've all been in those games before where you're like, that is the worst outcome possible. It wasn't a terrible fight. It was like a 4-for-2, but Belveth gets like a double kill, then another double kill, then a triple kill. And then it's just, yeah, it's it is unfortunate at that point. Not much we can do.
It was it was a super exciting game to watch for sure. Not just because of the Belveth, but you know, they're obviously great play from both teams there. But here are our tier one stat leaders before we wrap up our episode today, just talking about throwing some things out there. But Straight Outta Grompton not only had the Belveth in, but they also had a role swap as well. And I will say too, they had a pretty one-sided game in mm-hmm. week one. They, of the two matches from week one, theirs was the most difficult to watch. it was tough. It was a 31-minute kind of slugfest there, but two members on nearly double-digit deaths. It was really, really difficult, and they had a tough time. And one of my concerns was how do you bounce back from that? You know, mm-hmm. especially in this tier. Like, I kind of expected in tier three, you know, you have some games that are very one-sided from time to time. Even in tier two, you have those. But in tier one, it's like, man, what do we do? Like, we all have a pretty solid understanding of the game. And they ended up swapping Matt Decker guy and Drake Prime from support and top. And it worked. Mm-hmm. In fact, already you see Drake Prime at the top of the stats. Now, obviously, he only has one game there, so stats are a little skewed. As he gets more stats and the averages start to kick in, we'll see. But he did come in with the highest KDA on that Ornn, sitting at 13. But also the other two names here in the top lane for tier one, one English teacher, I see there with the most solo kills in the tier one league, as well as the highest CS differential at 10 minutes, sitting at nearly 16 CS average, out farming your opponent in lane. And then Pathfinder as well, topping four of the stats, highest KP, damage percentage, CS per minute, and damage per gold. And I'll say, like, based on the preseason, based on the tier one, like, in-houses we did, Pathfinder looked pretty unstoppable.
Oh, yeah. I had a moment of existential crisis after one of those nights. We played three games, and I unfortunately was on the losing end of all three of them, with two of them being in lane against Pathfinder, where I had, I think one of those games I had double digit deaths. And so I came in like, oh Lord, what is this is what's going to happen to me here?
And he did. He was rolling everybody. Mm-hmm. And then I think it, he was up until you played Set into his Yone.
Yeah, we had one game where Will Wynn and I, my jungler, who you'll see on the other sets, we kind of got matched up into a game, and Will and I basically said, look, this is our goal for the day, is to make Pathfinder sad. And we did that.
Well, they ended up swapping in their matchup. Pathfinder ended up taking Yone mid, whereas Bullet Games, I believe, took Gwyn top into Drake Prime's Ornn. So they had a little bit of a lane swap there. And the way that the Riot API figures that, I can't go back and change what role they had. So technically, these stats that we're seeing here are only a result of week one. His week two game actually is calculating into mid lane stats. So that's why we'll see him over there on mid lane. So it's a little weird, but over in the jungle, we are seeing we see three different names and three very different play styles from these junglers here. It's going to be very exciting to see how the rest of the season develops, but Will Wynn coming through with four of the stats there. If we go back and take a look at champion picks, he had Wukong in week one, and then week two had the Lilia come in. And highest KDA, most counter jungling done, highest damage percentage of any jungler for their team, and then highest damage per gold at 2.12. So extremely efficient with the gold. But that highest kill participation going to Clown Viego, that is on the first week, I believe, was Hecarim. And then week two, he played the Belveth. It's very, very close. If I were to pull up the roles, Clown Viego Doze has a 92.23% kill participation. Well, it was close. Will wins at 77.74. So, okay, never mind. Forget what I was going to say. He's absolutely dominating kill participation. Nothing happens on that team straight out of Grompton unless Doze is there.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at that last game, you can just kind of see that in a nutshell. He finished, 15-2-14 on the Belveth, 29 kills participated in, and then 31 total kills for the team. So yeah. it's.
Did you just do quick math in your head?
It was, no, it's right there. I have it pulled up on a separate tab.
Oh. I was like, man, this guy's good.
No, that's an English teacher, not math teacher.
So have y'all played them yet? Did y'all play them week one?
We did. We actually played them week one.
Yeah. Okay, so that was the loss. That was the Hecarim game. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was gonna say, moving into week three, if you were to play them week three, do you ban the Belveth?
I don't know, man. It's I don't know whether it's one of those things, because I haven't played into it enough. And our draft overlord Will Wynn, we haven't really talked about it. I do think that we decided to get rid of it just to make sure that nothing could surprise us, potentially. But then we didn't do it in our week two game. So who knows? We'll see.
I don't know if it's secret strats.
No, it's I'll leak some strats. It's fine. No, it's okay. It's one of those things where I don't know if it's Belveth being broken or just nobody knowing how to play around her. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'll give it a few more days before we chime in and decide whether it's broken and to keep it away from Dose or not. So we'll see.
Yeah, we did see, as we were casting the game, Eric was pointing, I was like, yeah, she's got like a sub 40% win rate. I don't see this going very well. So like, oh great, like maybe he spammed her on the PBE and he knows what he's doing. I don't know. But the other name that you see there in the jungle is Bruitt. I'm assuming is the pronunciation there. But Bruitt played Ivern week one and then Nunu week two. So a very, very different jungler, right? Compared to Willwin and Dose. So do y'all play this week? Do y'all play?
We'll play Bruitt's team. Bruitt's,
okay.
Bruitt's team. Yeah.
That is Team Eclipse. Eclipse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they did end up taking a loss this week. They dropped that game to straight out of Grompton with the Belveth game. But interesting there how this clash of these styles. So he did have a really high KP that very first week, but again, it's Ivern. The KDA is going to be really good, but he's not really getting the kills. He's not super, super scrappy, but more, you know, going for those 2v2s, you know, pairing, doing some mid jungle synergy, maybe even some mid support. Depending if you have a really aggressive support there. So it'll be interesting to see how your team handles that. I'm not going to let you spoil anything. In the mid lane, it looks to be dominated mostly by Sones over from Bards of a Feather. He is sitting at 5 different stat lines. He is the leader of highest kill participation, the most solo kills out of any mid laner in the league right now. Highest damage participation. I'm sorry, damage percent, averaging 37% of his team's damage. That is pretty insane. Then you get into the CS differential. He's tapping, you know, or topping the charts there. And then a 2.94 damage per gold. So gold efficiency, what does he do with the gold when he gets it, is absolutely through the roof.
Yeah, and that was something that I was talking about with my team beforehand is, look, Sones kind of popped off in their first game. They didn't end up winning that game, but he was doing massive amounts of damage. I mean, his damage percentage was even higher before second week. I think he had, 45%? After week one, I want to say, it was pretty crazy. And I don't know, man, like I can't do that. I'm not quite as efficient with my damage. And I know a lot of that comes from 2 Victor games. When you have a lot of damage and B, a lot of that is AOE, you're going to be doing a ton, but still 35 plus is pretty nuts. So.
Yeah, that first week he had 83% kill participation and 46.7 damage percent. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, yeah, half of his team's damage was him. Mm-hmm. That's unreal. We do see Pathfinder making a brief appearance on the mid lane stats because of the role swap, or the lane swap rather, from last week. And then Bullet Games with the highest KDA, our league's assassin player. We need more assassins in tier one. Those are really, really fun to cast. He can't be one that's willing to bust out the Fizz, Katarina, or Akali.
We will see. We'll see. I know we've had a few conversations about stuff like that, but
oh, really?
Yeah,
do tell.
Bit. It's just fun. They're just fun. So people want to play assassins. Like, I don't want to play Ornn. I was not happy when I played Ornn in game two, but we needed it. I needed to fit my role with the team. And so I would love, I mean, when I play mid lane, like I pretty much only play Zed Fizz. So like, I love assassins, love seeing assassins. And so I kind of mentioned that to some of our players. I'm like, hey, if you guys like to play anything, any assassins like this, like, let's get it out. They're fun.
You heard it here first, folks. Lucas lane swapping to mid.
Yes.
Playing either Fizz or Zed next week.
Yeah. Let me pull up, let me think. What do we need to? Let me pull up my Discord messages where I let Coop know what our roster is, and you'll see some. You'll see English teacher in the mid lane for us. I only play Zed and Fizz, so please don't ban them.
All right. So moving into the bot lane, we do have Dexcisions and Ginga Riffith showing both of those names. Dexcisions showing up 5 different times. That highest CS differential at 10, I don't think your eyes deceive you there. I believe that is an accurate average of 2 weeks. He is out CSing his opponent.
Yeah, I pulled up the game one VOD because I knew that a lot of that was going to come from that game one. At 10 minutes, he had roughly a 30 CS differential at 10.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah, pretty brutal.
I think it was 19 in the in like week two or something mm-hmm. like that.
Which is still crazy. I mean, even if you're just taking that game, then that game is higher than all the other roles that are calculating that for.
So, yeah, it's unreal.
Dex definitely has some good CS mechanics.
No doubt about it. And honestly, sporting the largest killing spree of any bot laner mm-hmm. right now, going on 5 kills without dying. That's not the same as a pentakill. That is just, he had some kills, and then on the next fight, he got some more kills and before he died. So we'll continue to track that stat throughout the season, but definitely killing it in the CS department, and Ginga Riffith holding it down with the KDA mm-hmm. and the kill participation, being there, participating in more of those kills across the map, and preserving his life a little bit more. And then we look over finally into the support role, dominated by Sups9. We saw Ched there a lot for the first little bit, but now with kind of a revamping our support stats, we start to see Sups9 show up a little bit more, with dominating the vision department for sure. Most mm-hmm. wards placed, most wards killed. That vision score too is absolutely bananas.
Oh, it is.
That is also an average. I'm going to go back. I'm going to double check my formula. That is an average. Double check. That is an average vision score. Okay. That is an average. That is not a sum vision score. His average vision score across two games is nearly 100. That is absolutely nutty. That means one yes. of them had to have been over 100.
Yeah, I want to say that was game two. I'm going to go back and check real quick since it's still in my match history. But it's just, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, we 124
kind of, yeah,
was his vision score for yeah. week two.
Yeah, I remember us getting to the end. I don't think any of us realized what was going on. And then once the game finished and we all kind of came down off the high, we just hear in the background of the Discord very quietly, look at that vision diff.
it was a 39-minute game, to mm-hmm. be fair. But just the previous week, there was a 37-minute game in Tier 1, and the highest vision score in that game was 72. Mm-hmm. So to kind of put things in perspective, yeah, he had 124 vision score. Yeah, it was a 39-minute game, but in mm-hmm. the same tier, there was a 37-minute game with only a 72 vision score as being the highest. Mm-hmm. I'm super impressed.
Yeah, and it's, I gotta say, like, us sitting at the top of the standings, I'm gonna put huge kudos on everybody's vision score in our team. Like, we're pretty consistently making sure that everybody's doing their part.
For sure, that Decker guy showing up in the stats for supports. He is freshly swapped over to support, so this is only 1 week of mm-hmm. stats. So again, a little skewed. This will balance out over time as we get more data in there to average things out. But sitting at the highest KDA and the highest kill participation, so great job for him on that, having a successful role swap. He's undefeated mm-hmm. in support right now. As is Drake Prime, undefeated in top.
I love the role swaps. This wasn't something that we got to do last year, so it's fun seeing how teams kind of fix up, maybe try and shore up some of the problems they feel like they may be having, et cetera. So it's, I wonder what we're going to have this week. I wonder if anybody's going to change.
Yeah. So let me get your hot take before we go. We have 3 minutes and I want to close this up because I have dad things to do.
Dad things.
But give me a hot take for tier one, week three.
Hot take?
The train is here.
Yeah. My train's popping up. It's time to go. A block from there. Okay, let me get a hot take. I don't know.
I'll give you one.
Okay.
Team Let Us Win will not be undefeated after week three.
Oh my God, why would you do this to me? Okay, because my hot take was going to be that we were still going to be undefeated.
That's not a hot take.
Oh, it's not? Okay, sorry. What's... Okay, all right, let me... Interesting. So why you just like Team Eclipse against us?
I like drama, man.
Oh, that's
like,
it. That's...
I like drama.
Nice.
Here's what's going to be interesting. It's the rematch. between you and Pathfinder. And I think that's going to be spicy.
I think it will be fun. I know I rely a lot on jungle help, especially from Will Win, but it'll be fun. I'm excited to see. I will say that I think as my hot take, I think as the league kind of settles down a little bit, I think we're going to see players get a little more comfortable. And as a result, I'm going to say that we're going to have right now the highest solo kills in the league. We've got 5, and that's coming from me, and that's across 2 games. I think we're going to have a game where somebody has 5 solo kills.
Okay.
So kind of hopping up there. I know I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. Tier 1's really interesting. I think I described it to one of our tier 2 players as there's a smaller gap between the lowest tier 2 players and the gold players in tier 1 than there is between the gold players in tier 1 and the plat plus players in tier 1. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got a masters player, we've got a diamond player. And so yeah. I know a lot of people kind of get a little nervous whenever they think about stuff like that. They're like, oh God. I mean, for example, me, like I'm already thinking about the matchup with Pathfinder. Like, oh God, what's going to go on here? I know he's mechanically better than me. I know he's higher ranked than me. What are we going to do? But I know that as the weeks roll on and as the season continues, some of our gold players are going to get a little more relaxed and hopefully get a little more comfortable playing the way they normally do. So I have faith. I think somebody's going to get a bunch of solo kills this week.
For sure. I will say this too, just for the sake of storyline and, you know, kind of getting this out of the way for tier one. Barbs of a Feather, not on a win yet, but both of their matches have been really, mm-hmm. really close.
Very
like
close.
They've been right on the cusp of winning, nearly taking out y'all last week. Mm-hmm. I think the early lead was a little too much for them to overcome. So I think they shore up some of those struggles that they had, you know, mm-hmm. maybe if they were going into the mid game, even I think possibly, you know, they could have taken that game. You know, it's kind of hard to tell, but then the other thing too, is to see, did Straight Out of Grompton's win come off of purely the fact that they played Belveth?
Interesting. That'll be interesting to see. I know after playing with Dose a few times, I know he's definitely like a feast or famine jungler, or it feels like he is. Like when he is on, good Lord, he is carrying games hardcore. So we'll see. I don't know if that's going to be just a Belveth thing or if it's going to be him as we go through. I don't know. I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to it. Well, remember everybody, we're going into week 3. So we are finishing up the first round robin. So we are finishing up game 3 for each of our teams this week. And then we reset the schedule and everybody plays every other team again. So a double round robin. We will finish the season out with 6 games per team. And really, everybody makes playoffs. So that's the good news. For the teams at the bottom of the standings, everybody makes playoffs. So you really have 6 weeks to try to figure out. And we've kind of glossed over the fact that all these teams are brand new together.
Oh, yeah.
And every team has a period of adjustment, right?
Yep.
So it's not like, you know, when you look at the standings and teams, obviously there's always got to be a team at the bottom, but there is going to be that time where they have to work out, mm-hmm. How they're going to gel, work out how to, what roles are you going to actually play? And I'm not just talking about who's going to play mid, but what kind of mid are you going to mm-hmm. play? What kind of support works best for our team? Who is going to be our hard carry? Who are we going to invest our resources in? And who's going to shot call? Like all that stuff is super important. And these tier 3, tier 2 and tier 1 teams are likely still trying to figure that out. I mean, we haven't had a whole lot of time. So I'm interested to see how the second round robin goes as soon as this first round robin ends. Mm-hmm. But by the way, we get to see the end to it this week. We will have 1 tier 2 game on Wednesday night and 2 tier 1 games on Thursday night. So be sure that y'all tune in for those. So for Lucas, you got any other parting words for us before we head out?
No, just kind of echoing off what you said. I feel like last year week three, week four, week five, that's when we really started to see teams start to gel a little more. We're all adults. We all have other responsibilities, so we might not get the practice that we want in with our team. And so as we go through and just play more games, it's everybody kind of inevitably plays better and these teams start to work better. So I'm excited for these games coming up. We'll get to see. I think we'll get to see a little more identity from some of these teams. How are they going to play? What are they going to try and do, and go from there?
Absolutely. All right. Well, for Lucas, I'm Justin. Thank you so much for listening and tuning in. We will see you guys Wednesday night and Thursday night, and then next week for season 2, episode 17 of Rift Happens, where we dive a little bit more into the meta that is developing across our leagues, which champions are being picked, which ones are being banned, and maybe we'll have some more hot takes from Mr. English teacher over there. All right. Thank y'all for tuning in. See you next week.